And hello, everybody. Welcome to Stream Conscious Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Turkeyfoot Cox. And this is my co-host, Joe Stanky Leg Stout.
We're doing a show for next week in the middle of this week's show.
Yes. I'm going to use this intro for next week, and we're just going to start cold next week.
This is like whenever you would watch like a sitcom back in like the 80s, and like they would run out of material, so they would just do one show where they all sat in the living room talking about things that happened throughout the season, and they would have like little flashback moments of like people getting hit in the head, or you know, Seinfeld falling down a set of stairs, or I don't know what the fuck, but like that's basically what this show has come to. Is
okay,
we're now just doing flashback.
Now here's what you're gonna say: "Hey Joel, what are we talking about today?" And we're gonna cut it.
Hey Joel. What are we talking about today?
Okay, Joe, so we're going to talk about cars today.
I feel castrated right now, though. I just got to say this. Like, I'm so used to starting the show, like, so high energy. Like, it always kicks off with, like, and I, like, I have, like, I just get into it.
And but then, we already like, did it, Joe. Weren't you here when you did it?
We did it last week.
Weren't you here when we did it? We just did it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We didn't just do it. Though everybody heard it on the podcast last week.
No.
We did use it on the podcast last week also, right?
Yeah, but it's also, we just started this episode. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a continuation. It's like last
this,
week.
No, this is this week. This is a new podcast. I don't know what you're talking about.
So last week is also this week, then.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you talking about this?
This is like whenever you watch a TV show.
This is very disjointed, Joe. We're starting the episode, now you're failing to castrate, even though you just did the intro.
I feel like my life was in a cliffhanger for a week there. But here's the other, okay, all right, Joel, explain this one. Then how did you get all of my guesses for your phone app thing?
Huh? That was the last week's episode, Joe. That's different from
you're
the
son
intro.
Of a bitch. All right, so Joel, what are we talking about today? Oh, wait, did I already ask that? I don't even know what was said now, Joel. I don't know where we left off from what I said supposedly earlier today that
oh
I remember.
Oh, my God, Joel, we just recorded this. You asked me what we were talking about, and I told you we were talking about.
Joel, what are we talking about today?
Cars.
Wait, did I do that already?
Yes!
Okay. Oh, so
this is like who's
so
on first.
What are we talking about?
This is like who's on first.
You said we're talking about cars today?
Yes.
Okay, cool. What about cars?
So
we've done cars before.
No, like, this is a new chapter in my car saga.
Okay.
So Monday night, I went over to my buddy's house, and these lights came on my car, ABS, Hill Assist lights.
Oh yeah, I got a text message on this from you.
Yeah.
Or whatever, because like I remember you saying you said you had the Christmas tree on your car, and I didn't know what that meant. It was all the lights lit up on your car, and I was like. Then, like, a couple days later, then you were like, we went through a conversation, and you got it all fixed. I don't want to tell your story, but I got a text message.
Did I get it
you,
all
and
fixed?
I was confused.
I don't think you did get the story, then.
No, you said you got stuff fixed on the car.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, all is good. Car is back to normal again.
Not exactly.
Yeah, and then I got a text message, like, 3 days later from you. I'm assuming that's the part of the story you want to tell now.
I'm going to tell the whole story. So.
Oh, don't start from the beginning. I already caught us up.
No, you
did
not.
The audience is good. All right, go tell your story.
So I decided, I broke down, decided I was going to go to the dealer. So I called the dealer, scheduled an appointment, told them the problem. They said, oh, yeah, that should not be fixed by our recall for the brake sensor. But for $115, we'll figure it out. I'm like, okay, whatever. I have them tell me what's wrong with it, and I'll go do it myself. So I had a appointment for 1 o'clock, went in. Now, they told me on the phone it'd be an hour and 15 minutes, roughly. Hour and 15 minutes later, well, we got the sensor in, and it seems to fix the problem. But your battery's dead. We need to get you a new one. I'm thinking, wait a second. I know this game. So they told me it's
the battery wasn't dead when you took it in.
Exactly. So for $184, I could get a brand new battery from Subaru. And I said, no, thank you. I'll do that later. And I went directly to Advance Auto, who told me my battery's fine. And is at 90% capacity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that part of the story.
Yeah. So, I want my parents
to... Wait. Okay, so, all right. So, now, these sons of bitches told you that your battery was dead, and they were going to replace it with you have a 90... Then somewhere else said your battery was perfectly fine. So, where's the dealership? Because we're going to call them out, because these sons of bitches...
No. I get to go through the entire story, Joe. You don't understand. This is an epic tale.
Well, afterwards, we're going to tell people where not to shop.
No. We got to finish the story, and then you can make your decision. So, I go to my parents.
It's like a whodunit. Okay. All right, Colonel Mustard and the light, the candlestick.
Had to install a dishwasher for my parents. That went south. So it's 10 o'clock at night. I go to my car, put the key in the ignition, I'm like, this is a long day. At least my car is fixed. I turn the key, and all the lights on the dashboard come on.
That's the picture I got. Now, that's the text you sent me, right?
Now, normally, that was a before and after shot after I tried to fix it myself with a part. This is before the dealer got involved. So, I'm mad. I'm losing my shit. Because normally I have to hit the brakes, and then the lights come on. Now the lights just come on when I turn the ignition. So I drove home mad.
Got home. I was like half listening to your story, because there's the sexiest mama right now getting into her car. This chick, she's putting little baby kid into the car, but she is gorgeous. I think she's Latino. I can't really tell from here. She's got a butt like a Latino woman. That's not racist. That's a fact. And hi. Nope, she didn't want to wave back. Okay.
You're right, I'm sorry. In your wife's car, which is kind of funny. But you know, I digress.
That's a whole other story.
So, I go home, and I do the Joel thing that I always do. I made a timeline.
Joel made a vision board for what he wants to not be wrong with his car. What's the reverse of a vision board? Can we make a not vision board?
No, this was a...
That should be a thing.
This was like a police report of all the events that happened that day, from the time of me calling the dealer to me getting in my car.
So I'm typing down reverse vision board into my idea book here, so you go ahead and keep telling your story.
So I got dates and times. I've got how much time I lost, how far I drove, how many miles I drove, how far was the other dealer. So the next morning, 9 o'clock, I call 5 times. No one answers the phone. And the 6th time, Brandy answers. And I tell Brandy, I want to talk to the service manager. Well, I want to talk to the main manager, but he was out, but the service manager was available. So I talked to him. And he goes, well, it seems to be a problem today. I go, well, Ken, here's the problem. And I just went off about all the issues that happened. And he goes, well, with the battery thing, I can pull the report and show you what we saw. But how about this? I'll send somebody out to get your car. We'll give you a loaner, and we'll figure out what's wrong with your car. Now, I'm in shock right now, because I spent an hour the night before trying to figure out, what do I want? I don't want to drive out there. I refuse to drive back out there. So they sent out a 2021 Subaru Forester and dropped off the car and took my car.
So far, we like Randy.
We like Ken. Brandy was just the person that answered the phone.
Oh, Ken. Okay, we like Ken.
Yeah.
Randy's okay, though, Q. Brandy. We don't dislike Randy.
Brandy.
Oh, Brandy.
Yeah.
Did she have a pretty voice?
Yeah, pretty voice.
Did she have a sexy voice? Because you know what it means when they have a sexy voice, Joel? They're what? Fat. Anyways, go ahead.
Actually, she wasn't.
No!
So,
pretty girls never sound good on the phone.
They have my car.
That's just a factoid.
So around 5 o'clock, I get a phone call from Brandy. Now, the only issue that I have is Ken said he called me personally to tell me what's wrong with my car. But Brandy called. Because Ken told Brandy to call. So
not because Brandy just like missed you and wanted to see how you were doing.
So put a pin in that. Well, I didn't answer the phone because I was working on the dishwasher yet again at my parents, because that was another nightmare.
So you're back to the dishwasher again.
Yeah, because I'm at my parents at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday.
All right.
Thursday.
Dishwasher seems to overly incorporate into this story.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay. So I get the call. They couldn't answer it. Next morning, Ken calls me, tells me what's going on. Turns out there's a solenoid in my transmission that's going bad. Grand total, $1,205.
Ooh, ouch.
But he's willing to fight with Subaru and have them try and fix it. Because I have a 100,000-mile or 10-year warranty. I'm at 116,000 miles.
Oh, but it was probably bad before that. How does that work if you go over that? You're only 16 miles over.
No, 100. I'm only 16,000 miles over.
116,000. Wait.
100,000
miles. How many miles? 100,000 miles, and you are at
116,000. 116,000.
Okay. Yeah. I had the decimal in the wrong place, dude.
Yeah.
All I heard was the 16. I thought 16
I'm
was
way,
the
I'm end. Way over.
Okay, all right.
But because they screwed up before, telling me that the brake sensor fixed that, and they didn't bother putting the scanner on the car, they lied to me.
Oh, so where does the battery come back into play?
He sent me the report of the battery. It's saying that the battery's at end of life. It's under the number of amps required to start the car. I don't even care about the battery, because I got bigger problems right now.
Yeah, that's the point. So, did you actually get it fixed?
We're still in the story, Joe.
Oh.
So, he calls...
That's not the end! Wait, but there's more?
Yep. So, he calls Subaru.
The Toronto Appeal infomercial!
So, he calls Subaru, and they tell him, by the end of the day, we'll give you an answer. So, around 2 o'clock, 3:30, they call me, and he goes, well, Subaru said they'll pay for part of it. So, out of this $1,205, they'll pay $750. So... It leaves me at $530 to pay for.
Thank you for doing the math on that one for me. I was trying to figure it out in my head. Yeah. But we both know that I am not great with math.
Unfortunately, I have to pay the tax on the whole amount. Oh, no. You're trading me $750. I think I'll pay $30 in tax extra.
Yeah, that's sufferable.
So, Friday, he tells me this. He goes, well, we can't get it done today. We'll get the parts on Monday, and you should have your car back by Monday.
You still have the rental, though, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, go Ken. We love Ken now.
Well, they still haven't called me yet.
Unless there's more to the story.
No, we're now caught up to the current point of the story where I have the car.
The story's not over just yet. Okay, so now here's the thing: you're right. Wait, no, you're driving what? A Subaru what? A
Forester.
Subaru Forester. Okay, because I said to you, I was like, time for a new car, and you were like, fuck you. There's no. I just got this car.
No. I said the car is 6 years old. I'm out of car payments. Fuck you. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, okay. Because, so I was like, in my head, I don't know why, because I know you've had this car for 6 years, so like obviously I've seen this car. I knew you had this car. But in my head, this was still like, what was the car before this? Was the Z something, right?
Kizashi.
Okay. And then before that, you had the Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay. So in my head, you had this car for way longer than you had it. Like, this car in my brain was like the age of like my Matrix or something, like what before I got rid of that. For some reason, I thought this was like a really old car. Like, 6 years is not new for a car by the long shot. Like, it's pushing its end there. But cars can last more than 6 years. You can get 10. I got, I think, 15 years out of my Matrix. And that's why I went with RAV.
From Ken told me, he had two Subarus. One went to 500,000 miles. The other went to 250. But it only went to 250 because the body rusted out. I got news for you. I know how to use sheet metal and pop rivets.
Joel, take his car in. Sir, which car? It's out here. It's the Subaru. What color is it? Which part of it?
So anyway,
Like it's from Mad Max.
Yeah. So I did go to my.
I drive the Thunderdome car out there.
So I had to go to my dad's yet again to work in the dishwasher at one point. He goes, "This car's great. You should buy this car. I'll give you $1,000 to buy this car. Your car's a donkey compared to this car." I'm like, "My car's paid off. I don't need a new car." Like, in the past 15 years, my dad's been gung-ho about always buying new cars. I'm like, no. I don't want to spend the money. I'm perfectly happy with my car.
I believe in that. Once you pay a car off, and here's the thing, is some people, I get why some people are like, some people are car people, and they want a newer, cooler, fancier car. And I going from, in the past couple of years, like, I had the Matrix that I ran forever, and it was a great car when I first got it.
You got your Matrix when I got my Matrix.
Yeah, and I ran it like crazy, and I didn't take good care of it. I didn't do oil changes like I should. I didn't do oil changes like I shouldn't even. Like, I was so bad with that. I ran it hard. I drove it heavy. I used to slam it from, like, I would back it out of a parking spot from going in reverse, and I'd slam it in the drive. Like,
oh,
I was
God.
Just like
what
a shitty driver.
What is wrong with you?
Because I was stupid. I was young. Like, I've
and
had
you've got four kids, and they're, do you do the same thing?
No,
them?
I mean, I didn't drive it like, I wasn't driving it like Vin Diesel on a quarter mile.
Are you
I didn't
sure?
Mean,
like, it sounds like you were.
I was just rough on it. Like, I was just a neglectful owner of a vehicle. Like, I wasn't, it wasn't like I was like, I probably drove too fast.
You know how I'll take care of my cars? I don't put 87 gas in them anymore.
You don't put what?
87 gas.
What's the
yeah,
regular gas?
I put 89 in because back in the early 2000s, my dad and I were working with weed whack and lawnmowers and stuff. And we had to keep getting them rebuilt. And the guy goes, "Are you using 87 gas?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, there's crap in that to ruin the lawnmowers." I'm like, "If it's not good enough lawnmower, not good enough for my car. Screw this."
Yeah. No, you know what? For only a couple cents more, 30, in the long run, it
used to be 10 cents more. Now it's 30 cents more.
Did you go all the way up to Super?
No. Like no. To go from 87 to 89 is about 30 cents nowadays.
Are you kidding? I thought it was... I obviously don't pay attention to gas prices. I don't pay attention to gas prices ever. Like, I pull into a gas station, I will go in, I will put the nozzle into the car, fill up the car. When it stops, I round it up to the nearest 10 cents or quarter or whatever, and then I hang up the nozzle, I get in the car, I drive away. I don't know how much I paid per gallon. I don't know how much I paid total. I don't know how many gallons I put in my car. All I know is that now my car is full. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm oblivious to it. I have no spatial recognition. That's not the word I'm looking for. Situational awareness. I have no, and I'm usually like, I believe in pay attention to what you're doing. So like, I know I didn't spill it all over the floor. I know I didn't drive into another car. I know that the garbage can wasn't overflowing, but I have no idea how much I put into it because that is not a controllable factor in my life. I cannot do anything about that. I pull up to the gas station, and if it's, you know, $3.25 a gallon or if it's $5 a gallon, I can't change that. I can't be like, hey, I don't agree with this price.
Do you just buy gas from anywhere, or do you have places you only buy gas from?
I try to go to certain places. A lot of that is because my Uncle John, who we talk about all the time, Uncle John told me that different gas places have different contracts, and he's an incredibly intelligent person, and I trust his wisdom on this one. And I think you and I talked about this before. You kind of confirmed what he said, I believe.
Yeah, because I don't buy gas from Sheetz or Giant Eagle anymore.
See, I do go to Sheetz, and I do Gitgo. He said was one of the good ones. Giant Eagle's okay because they have a contract. They get their gas from the same place all the time, and they get a certain quality.
My buddy who's a car guy sent me an article, which I cannot find to save my life, that had outlined all the gas places. But I just stick with Sunoco because it's on the list. It's by my house. Fine, whatever.
We need to do a public service thing where we convey our wisdom to all of our listeners to teach them the best. Because Sheetz is one of those tricky ones because Sheetz does not have a contract.
No, they don't.
But it's so convenient to get into a Sheetz. And anytime, I don't know what it is, like when I drive, I can go past a BP. Maybe it's BP. Maybe it's not Gitgo. Maybe it's BP that he swears by. But anyways, I can drive past like three gas stations, and I don't think about it. And then I drive past the Sheetz, and I look at my gas gauge. Like, I don't know why. I know I'm in the wrong for that. Even knowing that they're not the best gas, I stop at Sheetz too often. And like, I could say it's because, I want to go in and get a cup of coffee, and their coffee's the best. But I don't even go in half the time. Like 90% of the time, I just stop to get gas.
That's why I buy my energy drinks at Sheetz.
Yeah, I'm not stopping at two different places either, though.
Oh, like, I will.
I'm not. Sometimes I will, but usually I don't want to. I don't know why. I don't mind going. Here's the thing: if I'm sitting at home doing absolutely nothing, I'm like, I will go to like six different grocery stores, or I'll go to Home Depot, or I'll like walk around IKEA. I have no problem doing that. But for some reason, when I'm driving back home and I go, I got to put gas in my car, but I also want to get a coffee, I'm going to go to the place that I want the coffee and put gas in my car. I'm not going to get coffee at one place and then get gas. I'm not going to go to McDonald's and get a coffee and then stop at a gas station to get gas in my car. Like, I'm not doing it. I won't do it. And then I'm like, I don't know why, because like, it's not like it's a huge inconvenience. I go, I do my thing, I get my gas, and then I get my coffee, and then I go home and I sit in front of the TV doing absolutely nothing again. Like, it's not like I had somewhere to be. I wasn't late for an appointment. I'm just don't want to stop after. And I've been out already for like 5-6 hours doing jack shit. I shop for 6 hours with not a single bag of anything in my car. I'm going home with a cup of coffee. That's it.
Boo.
I don't know why. I'm just, it's one of those weird things. Like, and I know I'm wrong. I know I'm neurotic about it. I don't know where it came from. It's just one of those stupid things I do.
So, the next thing is, so I've had this car for about 4 days, 5 days now.
The rental.
Yeah. The things I like
about. And this is a Subaru what?
Forester.
Oh, you got, the rental's also a Forester.
No, I have an Impreza. The Forester is what I got. The Forester is a bigger brand.
Wait, Forester is the rental.
Yes.
Oh, no, what's the car you own? It's the Impreza.
Impreza.
Oh, that's what I was asking before. I was like, I don't remember what a Forester looks like, but I didn't think you owned a Forester. When you said it, I was like, I'm not going to tell him he doesn't know what his car is.
They're bigger. But the thing is, like, my dad was like, for 2 days, like, you should buy that car. I'm like, I'm not buying a car. He's like, I'll give you $1,000. I'm like, I'm still going to have a car payment. I'm not doing it. And I ran the numbers. It'll be like $250 to $275 a month if I could trade my car in. But you know what? No. I'm free. I'm going to stay free. My name is...
No, that's not, and you know what? Here's what you do.
My name is Kunta Kinte. I am free.
here's what I recommend to anybody, and this is what I do too. When you finish your car payment, the money that you put towards your car payment, so like let's say your car payment would be $275. Take that $275 now. Keep your car, but put that $275 or $300 aside in a separate account or whatever, yeah, in a mayonnaise jar under your bed. I don't care what you do. And that way, whenever you go to buy a car, you can take that $275 that you've been paying for the next, 5-6 years?
Exactly.
Take that money, and then you go, I'd like to buy a car. And now you're saving yourself that interest rate, because right now interest rates are super low. But, like, okay, for example, on my RAV, my credit was really crappy. It took a huge dip for a long time, and I only recently I skyrocketed my credit back up a lot, but it took a lot of work and a lot of paying and a lot of spending wisely and a lot of luck, honestly, if we're being truthful about it. It wasn't all just me. It was good fortune in my hands. But I turned my credit around drastically. But buying a car now, that I just got this the Highlander, the Toyota Highlander, which I love and I promote to anybody who's interested in thinking about getting a car, versus my RAV, my interest rate on my RAV is, I'm paying almost $100 a month in interest alone. It's insane how much I'm paying on that. And I'm like, if you can pay as much money as you can put down on a car payment, the better off. And that's everything. And everybody knows that. Yeah. That's common sense. But you don't realize how drastic that is.
No, like, I ran the numbers
a month. It's huge.
I ran the numbers. And they always like, oh, it's only $2 more. It's only $4 more when you get the car. I'm like, no, leave me alone.
Yeah, no, if you don't need it, don't buy it.
Exactly.
But yeah, and that's I was kind of reading up on that 30-day thing. Have you ever heard? It's the 30-day, I can't remember what they call it. It's like 30-day expense, 30-day... there's a term for it that they use to, but basically it's anything you want to buy short of, like, you know, living essentials. Like aside from going to the grocery store to buy yourself food, anything you want to buy, what you do is you either, well, depending on where you read, how they tell you how to handle it. But like you take your phone and you snap a picture of the item you want with a price tag. And then you wait 30 days. So in 30 days, you go back and you look at your picture and you say, okay, so I was thinking about buying, I don't know, a treadmill. I was thinking about this treadmill. It's $1,000. I took a picture of it. 30 days later, you look at it and you go, is it still worth that much money for that treadmill? And if it is, then you allow yourself to buy it. If not, then it was an impulse buy. And people who do this, they're saying like they save so much money and realizing how much stuff they spend. And, you know, and I don't think it's so much like, I don't think you're not an impulse buyer. Like you're just not that type of personality. And neither is like your wife so much. Like she doesn't seem like that type. But I think there are a lot of, not to sound sexist, but a lot of women especially, although I know a lot of dudes are.
Let's just stop this right there because I don't want to get sued. We're going to carry on.
We're not getting sued.
So anyway,
I've
been doing an impartial poll of. I had people look at the Forester and look at the Impreza and see which one they like better. And surprisingly, a lot of people like the Forester better.
I have to look and compare. I can't remember. Like know them.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to explain the results of my poll.
Oh, I'm not doing that now. I'll do it another time.
No, you're doing it right now while I talk.
Oh God damn it, Sue! Forester versus.
So. A lot of people have said that it's bigger, it looks more practical, and has more room. And I think it's kind of funny because I chose the Impreza because I like hatchbacks. And Top Gear likes to call them hot hatches because a lot of people like modded them and like make them faster. And I'm wondering if the reason I bought the Impreza over the Forester or the Crosstrek is because a little bit of me wants to feel like I have a little sports car when I don't. I still have just a grocery getter. So, but yeah, the Forester's like, I think, $8,000.
I like the Forester better.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
So far, everyone, other than my buddy Nick, everyone said they like the Forester better.
As soon as I saw it, I remembered what it was. Like, I knew it. I just couldn't really picture it. Here's the thing. The Impreza kind of reminds me a little bit of, I used to own, a Legacy. What's the one? The Legacy and there's... I owned the Legacy. I think the Outback was cooler, actually. But
yeah.
I never owned an Outback, so I don't know. But I owned a Legacy. And the Impreza kind of reminds me a little bit of the Legacy. But I think that
all in all, the Forester looks like I like the way the Forester looks better.
See, I don't, because I don't really like the SUV look. Like, it looks too boxy, and it looks
the Matrix. Going to like the Matrix, or let's say even like in general, let's not just say cars. Let's say like the PT Cruiser, the Toyota Matrix, the my RAV4. Those are all like not really SUVs.
They're crossover utility vehicles.
Right. So you like that?
Yeah.
But you don't want some, because like I would say, you know, especially like kinda, my RAV4 versus the Highlander.
It reminds me of the Jeep Cherokee too much, and I don't like that boxy, like, ugh. And plus, I like a slightly smaller car so I can fit to places other people can't when it comes to parking.
What's the Toyota one? It's not the PT Cruiser. It's an FJ. Is it FJ Cruiser or FJ something?
FT Cruiser?
Is it FT?
I think.
Maybe. I thought it was... Okay, either way, those are really boxy. I love them.
See, I
don't know what's something
that.
About the look on this. Oh, they're like the sexiest car I've ever seen. I love them so much.
I look at my dad's...
They're big. They're SUVs. Mm-hmm. But they're just something about... If an SUV had sex with I'm trying to think like a Porsche, but not a Porsche, but like some sort of like speedster car, like a muscle car. If an SUV had sex with a muscle car, then it would be the FJ Cruiser or FPTQ, whatever. The big, not the PT Cruiser, because those are shitty looking. But the Toyota, the big monster one.
Well, I think that's why
I don't know if they still make those or not. I don't think they do.
Probably not. But they realize that's why my dad likes the Forester better, because it's bigger and it looks like his car. I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want something a little smaller and a little bit more agile. Now, I'm not gonna lie. I found out the Forester has 40 more horsepower than my car does, and I've like hit the gas a couple times just to see how it'll move. It is a little peppy, but then I'm thinking, well, how much more gas am I spend to get that much more pep?
Oh, no, absolutely. That I do agree with. That's one thing I do love about, like, especially with the RAV. My gas mileage is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that compared to my Matrix, I'm pretty sure I'm getting almost the same gas mileage, maybe better, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit better. But the RAV compared to the Highlander still gets really good gas mileage, though. Like, really good gas mileage. I don't remember what they rate it at, but I feel like I'm getting better than what they even rate it at. But it's still new, so yeah. I haven't really had a chance to look at it.
What I really hate is a lot of these new cars shut off at stoplights.
Wait, so what about stoplights?
They shut off.
Oh, the ones that save gas. Those,
yeah.
Those
and then on top of that, for insult and injury, it tells me how long it's been shut off and how much gas it's supposedly saving me. But if it's a dead, like Saturday night, I went to visit a friend of mine to drop off some stuff. It's like 22 degrees outside. I'm at a stoplight and the engine shuts off. I'm like, so what happens to the heat?
That's a really good question.
Apparently it comes on after 30 seconds or so when it realizes, oh, wait, the heater's not putting out any heat. Turn the engine back on. It's like,
you know, here's the thing, is there are some places where you can do without that for 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
but in most of the year round, that's not a problem. However, in Pittsburgh winters, like, okay, so I know that if I say this, anytime you say something like, oh, the roads are bad, somebody always goes, oh, well, I'm from Fargo. Okay, well, fuck you, Fargo. I'm not talking about Fargo. I'm talking about how the roads are bad here. Like, I get that they could be worse somewhere off in Canada or wherever the fucking Maine you're from or whatever. Like, I'm not competing here. There are places that do get colder. Absolutely. However, Pittsburgh is shitty, shitty, shitty weather. We have the most diverse shitty weather. Yes, it gets colder in other places. Yes, it gets slushier in other places. Yes, it gets windier in other places. But we got it all. We're like second place on everything. We're like, how, remember when we used to play Mario on the Super Nintendo, and like you had all the different characters. You had Princess Peach, and Luigi could jump the farthest. Mario could jump the second farthest, and Toad could. You jump the highest or whatever, but he could run the fastest. But Mario is second place for everything. That's what Pittsburgh is. We are second place on everything. We are the second shittiest of everything. We're not the worst, but we've got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I feel like Pittsburgh is. Like, you cannot go on sometimes 30 seconds without the heat is enough to freeze your toes black here. Like, that sucks. I wouldn't want to go 30 seconds without the heat running. Because
I'm sure they're going to turn it off, but, like, it's a rental. I don't want to mess with anything. So then on top of that, I guess these new Supers have something called EyeSight, where they have two cameras on the top of the dash that will tell you if you're if you've crossed lanes or not. Well, I hate to break to you, but apparently our lines aren't good enough because sometimes it doesn't tell me to cross the line. And then sometimes I'm just trying to, like, switch lanes. It's yelling at me, you're crossing lanes, you're going to die.
Okay, my car has that too. And I'll tell you, at first, I turned it on because I was like, that's kind of cool. Wonder how that works. And, like, if you go over the line, and mine works pretty well, actually. Like, I have pretty good luck with it where, like, I go over the line.
Are you driving on actual roads or are you driving on?
Like, no, like, anywhere, everywhere. Like, it's my, I've driven, like, on side roads, highways, whatever.
Okay.
If you go over a little bit of a line, it'll beep, beep, beep at you. And also mine, if I'm going, I think, like, above a certain speed, if I start to go over the line, what'll happen is it won't, like, push me back into my lane, but it'll give, like, a very light nudge to kind of correct my driving, just in case, like, I wasn't paying attention.
Kind of like your mom used to smack you in the back of the head.
I don't have somebody smacking me in the back of the head anymore, so now I gotta, like, watch where I'm driving on my own. But no, I like both those features. I will say there are times where...
I'm not saying I dislike the feature. I just think it's not, for the roads I've driven on so far, it's not completely accurate. I wouldn't put my life in its hands.
No, obviously not. Like, it can help reduce the risk.
But if you look online, though, and you ask about turning it off, like, you shouldn't do that. It's National Layer of Protection. You think you're okay, but you suck.
You get used to it, though, is the thing. Because I can understand, oh, I completely get how, because here's my thing, is not always, like, there's places where I do cross a line, and if you have your turn signal on, it won't do it. It only does it if you don't have your turn signal on. So, like, because otherwise it would just beep every time you changed a lane or made a turn or whatever, and that's stupid. So if you put your turn signal on, you can move from one lane to the other, no problem. If you don't, and, like, here's the thing. If I'm on a major, like, there's a couple spots, like, going from my house into, like, Robinson. As I come down, one, when they were doing construction on that one side, you used to go across the lanes. You were going across lines, but you weren't going into a different lane. So it would beep at me thinking I was going across the line, even though I wasn't. That was kind of frustrating at first. I got used to it. The other thing is, if I come down and I come off that exit, and there's nobody there, and a lot of times I do come, like, coming the opposite way, if there's nobody there, I will change lanes. I'll come down, and I have to get into the left lane from the right lane. And I don't always put on my turn signal. The one I know that's wrong, but I don't always do it because there's usually nobody there. If somebody's around, I do. But otherwise, I don't. So then it beeps at me. But all in all, there's a couple spots where, like, you make a turn, and you go across the line that you don't have to. You have to kind of go across the line, but you're not really over the line. Like, there's some times where you don't realize it until your car starts beeping at you. And I've been driving this area for, what, 20 years that I've been living in this area and driving, and I've never noticed how many times, like, you go across certain lines until my car starts going, hey, fucko, you're going across the line. Beep, beep, beep. So, yeah, it that's all there is to it. And I'm always, sometimes, especially if there's light traffic, I'm not always as quick with my turn signal, changing lanes and stuff, too. Like, I'll kind of, like, start to go across, and then I turn my turn signal on halfway into the other lane. Or I'll turn my turn signal on, and I'll get halfway into the lane, and I'll turn it off before I'm all the way through. And I know that's another terrible thing, but it's something that I apparently do, so.
Yeah, well, my problem is, I feel like, I refuse to use backup cameras, because I feel like you lose your ability to actually back up without a backup camera. And I'm kind of worried that they're trying to promote drivers becoming dumber and dumber to the point where you need automatic driving cars because we don't know how to drive anymore.
I personally love the backup camera. I think it's one of the best inventions ever on a car. I love
it. It's a great invention, but the fact that all cars don't have it is the thing of, like...
Yeah, but mostly all... It's like becoming automatic windows. Remember when you used to have to crank down the windows, and then, like, they start doing automatic windows, and it was like, that was a thing. Well, backup cameras are becoming part of every single car. They're pretty much becoming standard.
But
so
until they do,
probably
standard,
5-10 years.
Until they do become standard, I refuse to use them. That's my point.
No, I get that. And listen, here's the other thing too: is I think that it's very important. Like, whenever I taught Bailey how to drive, I made sure he knew. Like, I put something in front of that screen, so he had to learn how to back up with his mirrors.
Mm-hmm. I want to step further. I learned how to drive my dad's pickup truck, and I use fisheye mirrors. So every car I own has fisheye mirrors, so I don't have a blind spot.
Yeah, no, and I think that's great too. I kind of like the most cars now also have, like, that mirror detector thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little thing that lights up when there's a car next to you. It's in your blind spot.
See,
so you don't change lanes.
My buddy had a Civic, and it had this thing that you could actually flip a switch on your dash, and it had a camera in the passenger side mirror. It would show you your blind spot.
That's kind of cool, but I feel like that's overkill. Maybe it's just because I don't have it. Maybe that's why I feel like it's overkill. Because I'm sure, like, at a certain point, like, some technology, I start to go, that's too much. It's unnecessary. But then I...
you want a backup camera.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, in my mind, I think, like, I remember whenever I was a kid and, like, let's say automatic windows. Like, I remember the old guys and my uncle would still go, that's unnecessary, damn it. Why do you need to push a button to roll your damn window down? Just be a man and crank it. And I'm like, you're just old. Like, you just don't like technology. You're just afraid of it because you don't understand it. And now I'm worried that, like, that's where I am now. Because I'm at that age where when I was a kid, I used to make fun of my uncle, and he was 40 years old. And now I'm 40 years old, and I'm like, my kids go, oh, there's a camera that shows you your blind spot on your passenger side mirror. And I go, God damn you, kids, you technology. Just learn how to drive like an adult.
But you know what's funny, though? As a kid, I was all about technology. And as I get older, I realize... there are people making technology, and they don't know what they're doing. They're going to screw up. This stuff's being built by the cheapest person possible, which means they didn't do all the quality assurance they claim they did.
American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan.
By the way, I heard a story that I think you would love.
Oh.
It involves technology and sex.
Are you in.
Are you aware of the Internet of Things?
Am I aware of what?
The Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say yes, but I'm certain that I don't understand.
It's basically like baby monitors, anything that connects to the Internet that you can use remotely and stuff.
Okay.
So, apparently, there's this chastity belt that can be connected to the Internet.
Can you make it vibrate? Like when she's trying the grocery shop and stuff, like on the videos? No,
it's a chastity belt.
Oh,
do you know what a chastity belt is?
Yeah, that's like the lock up their panooch so that they can't have sex, right?
Apparently, this dude got some ransomware with a chastity belt, and they wanted to pay $750 to unlock his chastity belt because they found a flaw in the software for the chastity belt that they could change the PIN code and lock the chastity belt over the internet.
Wait, first of all, why would anybody buy a chastity belt? Second of all, so people hacked his chastity belt?
Uh-huh.
What is this dude wearing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because historically, these have been designed for women, not men.
Well, they're made for both.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying...
Hey, man, I'm not going to yuck at another person's yum. That's not my thing.
I just don't...
You can be a prude if you want, but if that's what you want to do, more power to you.
Well, here's the thing. You don't need... a chastity belt to me is like... The whole intention of them originally
was... You're sounding very suburban to me right now, Joe. You might want to pump the brakes.
I don't give a shit. Anyways, it was designed because, like, back in the ye olden days, men wanted to keep their daughters from going off and being whores.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get that because I've dated a few girls that should have been locked up in a tower or, you know, put on a chastity belt or something. God bless them, but they're daddy issues. So regardless, that's what the intent was. Now, at a certain point, that just became cruel and ridiculous, and the chastity belts went away.
Or did
because
they?
That's
because
absurd.
Then you got that other lifestyle, all about the control.
Okay, so like the whole I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a cage. It's basically like a penis and nut cage that. I saw this one time, and I was like, I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. And then once I did figure out what it was, I'm like, how does that make anything better? It doesn't. It's supposed to, you put your junk inside this cage thing.
Hey, man, I ain't going to yuck another person's junk. If you want to be a prude, then be a prude. But that's what floats some people's boats. That's what floats their boats.
Well, I think it's like some people get off on like that whole...
Rule 43.
Yeah, everybody's got this. Hey, listen, and I'm not... Do your thing, whatever makes you happy, all right? If you feel good being controlled by someone or someone, I get that. Like, that's fine. I'm not belittling anybody for choosing this lifestyle or wanting this or having their own special kinks, whether they're just being polyamorous or whether they're into being locked up in a cage or if they want to just pretend like they're a pony and get whipped. I don't. Do your thing. That's on you. As long as nobody's getting hurt or as long as the person getting hurt is into it, that's fine. Go do your thing. I just don't quite – I can't wrap my head around why. Like, if you – like a chastity belt, if you don't want to have sex – you don't need a chastity belt. Just don't have sex. Or, like, get one of those weird hobbies that keep people from having sex, like reading comic books. That seemed to work for me throughout high school. So do that instead.
I'm picturing a world where the hot girl has a chassis belt and the nerdy kid's the only one who knows how to unlock it.
Right. Alright, okay, but well, no, I'm not getting into that one. There's a whole other set of perversion we're going through there. But
So you're very selective about the perversions you're willing to explore. That's kind of.
I'm not. It's not that I don't want to. I'm saying that
very
that,
suburban right now, Joe.
We could do an entire show on
very
where
suburban.
I was. Where I was going to head with this one, and I don't think we have the time or the patience for that, because what we haven't done yet is talked about your app, your restaurant app, and I don't think we're going on time, but I'm pretty sure we're pushing this episode pretty long.
We'll keep going.
So okay, anyway, well, let's talk about the restaurant app, because you want to run down the list of things that I said?
Yes. So
let's go one by one. Let's not powerhouse through them.
No, we're going to powerhouse through them, because you don't like lists, so...
No.
When it's your list, it's okay to go through. When it's someone else's list.
I'm saying let's not make it a list. Let's make it a conversation piece, Joel. I'm saying that I don't like lists. I don't want to be like, 1, 2, 5. Let's just go one time. Let's go one at a time, and we'll talk about it. Doesn't have to be a long conversation. Let's just get into some detail of it.
You realize we're at 40 minutes, right?
I did not realize that.
Then we will save this for next week.
Oh, what a... Tease, Joel, we just chastity belt the audience with this one. We told them last week we'd talk about it this week. All right, everybody, tune in next week to hear, maybe if we ever get to it, all of the ideas for Joel's special app, his restaurant / GPS app, is all the clues we've got. And here are all the guesses that I have come up with over the course of, I got 2 weeks because I can come up with some more shit.
Yeah.
And see which one I get the closest. A lot of my answers were actually pretty serious. Like, I didn't really fuck around. Like, I was, like, really answering some questions there, too. Like, I was going for it. Like, subscribe, follow, and be sure to tune in next week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. Have your pets spayed or neutered. What else? We got anything else, Joel?
Nope.
All right. And disco. I can't do disco. You have to have